I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and this is Up to Date. Kansas City, Missouri City Manager Troy Schulte's recently proposed budget recommendations for the next fiscal year include a number of cuts, most notably a reduction of more than 100 positions in the fire department. Can the department do with fewer firefighters? Today, City Council member Scott Wagner and Kansas City Star editorial board member Yael Abouhaka discuss Schulte's proposed cuts, the budgeting process, and other issues facing the council, including setting up a special transportation district to help fund a streetcar system. In the second half of our program today, we'll turn our sights on some music you can hear this weekend. The Brubeck Brothers Quartet at Johnson County Community College and Ladysmith Black Mambazo at the Kauffman Center. It's Up to Date. Following this hour's news. Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Suddenly, even firefighters aren't immune to budget cuts in Kansas City. A proposed new budget from City Manager Troy Schulte calls for layoffs of up to 105 positions, in part because fire calls have dropped by more than 60% the last decade. We'll talk about that change and others now on the table with a council member and Yael Abouhaka from The Star. Later on this hour, music, we'll talk to a member of Ladysmith Black Mambazo, who will be in town next week, and also with the son of legendary jazz musician Dave Brubeck, who performs tonight. But first up, that proposal to trim firefighters in Kansas City. With us today is Councilman Scott Wagner. He's the first district at-large representative, and Councilman, always good to have you. Good morning.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
And also here is my colleague at the newspaper editorial writer Yael Abouhaka, who writes about City Hall. And Yael, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Well, the city manager, Scott, wants to cut as many as 105 positions out of the fire department. That's a big cut for one department all at once, particularly, you know, one not used to being cut like that. Is that really going to happen?
Well, Steve, as you know, we are in the first phases of our budget talks,
yeah.
And so it's difficult to say where we will ultimately end up. But I think the reality of it is, and I think what that one sentence in the letter that we all received on the council says and speaks to is the fact that it cannot be business as usual in Kansas City, that there are certain challenges that the budget has. And as he said in within that letter, talking about fire suppression and how much of that we need, the issues that we've been having over the years, that particular issue has gone down.
Mm-hmm.
The question then comes: Is today's fire department the same one that you needed 10 years ago? You know, the interesting aspect of all of this is that since that time, we have had the ambulance service merged into the fire department. And now those same pumper trucks that used to be used solely for fire suppression play a critical role in what we would normally consider the ambulance service.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just from my perspective, from the first district, which is primarily a Northland district now, we have tremendous difficulty when it comes to response times. And so as we talk about, you know, should we let go of 105 firefighters, all of those issues play into it. So at the end of all of this, when we have a final budget March 22nd, do we have a cut of 105? I don't know. But I think what it speaks to is an overarching issue that as a council and as a city, we need to start getting our arms around.
Well, this certainly isn't going to help your Northland residents when it comes to response times, though, right? This will only add to the response time.
Potentially. And you know, it's one of those, you know, it's a cliche, but the devil is definitely in the details. You know, the Northland consistently has had the lowest amount of response times. Part of that, quite honestly, is that the growth of the Northland did not seem to hover around where all the stations were. And so that, you know, that's a simplistic way of looking at it, but essentially yeah. That's the reason why you have the response times that you have. So, you know, as we look at this, at least in my opinion, as we look at this over the next 2 months, you know, we really have to dig into the details and what does that mean and who gets cut and from where, and to the best that we can, try to figure out what does that do to everything from response times, both from an aspect of fire suppression, but also from an ambulance perspective as well.
Yale, what do you think about this idea? I think you've editorialized in favor,
believe.
Sir. But what do you make of it?
I think it's a bold step by the city manager.
And
I think
one
it's
long
the correct
overdue.
One. Long overdue. I mean, they,
in your view,
frankly,
yeah.
they never should have done it 10 years ago through a sales tax increase that was added to the 105 employees. Troy went through – the city manager went through a pretty good step. I mean, he looked at response times and said, well, no, we're not going to close stations. We're not going to close down pumper trucks. We're going to take basically one person off these trucks. So the response times could be the same.
Hmm.
Now, and that's a very key point of it. The big thing, and I think Scott's absolutely right in that they've got 2 months to get their hands around it. We need a new way of battling fires and responding to medical emergencies in Kansas City. We cannot do it the old way. Firefighters and police over the last 25 years have gone way up as number of personnel in Kansas City. You know, it used to be around 800 firefighters. Well, now there are 1,300, including the ambulance people. Well, that's just we just can't afford it anymore. I think there's going to be a data-driven attempt. You know, Sly James says that all the time if you hang around him. They have 10 years of looking at what they've done with four people on the truck and all that kind of stuff. They can look at what we did for decades before that with three people in the truck. You mentioned before the number of fires has gone down. And the number of fires, with all due respect to the Northland, are still concentrated in the core. Now, mm-hmm. the medical emergencies are everywhere. So
sure.
You definitely have to take care of that. But maybe that's what you're doing. The new firefighting force is, let's have a lot more ambulances spread out in different parts of the city, and we're going to have to keep the firefighting staff close to where the fires really are. And, you know, God love Smokey Dyer, who's the
chief.
Fire chief right
yeah.
now. Mixing metaphors here, a lot of the council thinks he walks on water. Well, you know, and that was mostly the old council. I'm not exactly sure about.
I think
a lot
he swims, actually.
Is that right? Okay. I think that he's been around a long time. He's kind of the old fire guy. I think pretty soon we're going to need a new fire guy to have a different fire department.
Yale, give me some context here. Hasn't there been a pairing of sorts here over the years with police and fire? If you really radically increase salaries or do something to police, you sort of have to do it with the fire folks, sort of like the Royals and Chiefs out at the Kauffman Complex. If you really do something nice for one stadium, you have to do it to the other. Has there been kind of a relationship like that?
Well, there has been. I mean, you know, going back 10 or 12 years, there's a 10% pay increase only for fire and police. And fire and police got together and got that together.
Right.
But even more recently, just a couple of years ago, the police get this special health care benefit, about $200 a month. And Louis Wright, the fire union president, said, well, that's not right. And he went to the council, the old council, and got them to approve $200 a month for the firefighters. Now, none of the rest of the city employees get it. Just the firefighters and police. So, and that chart I mentioned to you, or that story I mentioned to you about a year or so ago, looking at 25-year history, those are the two departments that have grown. Parks cut, public works cut, law cut, all these other departments cut. Now, water and aviation are different because they're enterprise and they get their own funds, but they haven't grown nearly as much as mm-hmm. fire and police. And that public safety is very important, but can we do it better? And I think that's what Scott mentioned. What's the council going to demand of Schulte, Dyer, all those other people to do it better?
You know, Councilman Scott Wagner, talk to me a little bit about this notion that, you know, fire and police to some extent have been treated somewhat equally over the years. And maybe are we crossing the Rubicon here in the sense that maybe this is a new day? Just the other day, the new police chief was sitting in your chair saying that, you know, in a perfect world, he would take his force of, 1,400 people, give or take. He'd have 2,500, you know, if he could. He realizes he can't, but that's right. What he'd like to have. You know, given the – if you asked average citizens these days what they'd like to see more of, would it be more firefighters or more police? I'll bet you dollars to donuts it's going to be more police by an overwhelming margin. Are we at a different point now in terms of how we have to judge these two departments?
Well, I think, you know, what your question speaks to is priorities.
Right.
What is it that we want to see? And I would go – somewhat further and say, you know, you go to the outcomes that you want. We've tried to do that as a council as we've taken a look at our own strategic planning as sort of the direction that we want staff and the city manager to go. You know, to that point, you know, you talk about police. Well, what do people want? Well, for the most part, what people would like to see, especially in the inner parts of the city, is they'd like to see a police officer walk down the street. Get back to that old style community policing that I think a lot of people look to as the golden age.
in some respects. And Daryl Forte talked quite a bit about that.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, there was some experimentation with that last summer. Part of the challenge with doing all that is having classes coming through the academy so that you can disperse them in that manner. You know, to Yale's previous point and to yours, you know, coming into this position 8 months ago, and as you kind of learn on the job on some of these things, you do get the sense that the way police and fire have been treated, they've tried to have that equal treatment for as much and as long as possible. But we're in a different type of budget time, where the rubber meets the road. And I think when you combine the financial situation, you combine that with kind of an outcomes-based kind of look at our budget and the overall performance of city government, that starts getting real interesting then at that point. And then you add to that the history of our past three budget years where, again, as Yale mentioned, you had a number of city departments slashed. You've had city departments that have not gotten raises. You know, all that plays into that. And so what I am quite sure of is that by the time we're done with this budget and we vote it through, we are going to make somebody mad. I have no doubt about it. And so what I then have to go back to is did we define the outcomes we wanted? Did we come close to achieving those outcomes through this budget? And then we kind of let all of it work out from there.
You know, Yale, a few minutes ago you mentioned the name of Louis Wright, sort of the venerable former firefighters union chief. And you can't help but wonder, it seems to me, if a cut of this magnitude would have occurred or even been proposed if Louis Wright were still at the helm. He just left and suddenly we're talking big cuts with firefighters, Yale.
Boy, I would like to think that given all the money problems the city has and continued money problems, Troy just would have had to bite the bullet and say, all right, Louis, this is what we're doing. Because you have to remember, I mean, right now the city council is looking at some pension changes that Louis doesn't agree with. In fact, Louis sat on the panel that came up with the pension changes. So, I mean, already they were, I guess, pushing back against what the firefighters and other city employees might want in pensions. So you can say there's already a little bit of history there. I would agree that Louis would be raising a big stink about it, and it probably does – it might become a little easier to do with a new fire union president. However, you always have to remember when it comes to firefighters that with so much time on their hands, they have, you know, great political influence in the city. I've seen it for, you know, more than 25 years. They pick up the phone. They will show up. Scott, let me warn you, they will show up with their placards at the city council meetings when you have them there. You know, we are at 90% rating of percent approval with the citizens. And I read a great quote the other day from a firefighter, he's like a national fire guy. It says all fire departments across the nation are 80 to 90. If you're not at 80-90% approval rate in your city, there's something wrong because people love firefighters, and that's great. You know, probably even more so in police. Police write tickets. Firefighters come, save your life, put out the fires.
Right.
That's great. That's their job. Do we need that many to do the job in Kansas City given the money we have now? And my clear answer based on research is no.
What's your prediction, having watched this council for so many years, Yale? What do you think this council is going to do with this proposal? Will it stick with the manager's idea here, or is the pressure going to be too much and will there be some backing off?
Well, two things. About 20 years ago, Dave Olson was a city manager.
Right.
1 year came in a tough year, proposed a 5% pay cut. The council went crazy. The fire union went crazy. Police went crazy. And finally, eventually, the council go, well, but God, we're not going to do what Dave Olson recommends. We're going to hold it at zero, which was, of course, a victory for Dave Olson, because if he would have come in with, I can't give anybody a raise, the council would have said, no, we got to give at least 1% or 2%.
Yeah,
so he won by going drastic. Now, I really don't think Troy's playing that game. The 105 is strategic. That is exactly how many of a reduction you would basically take off the people that were added about 10 years ago. So that is a real number. But if, say, if he got to 50 or something like that, or, and 75, he'd declared a victory and go ahead. Now, I hope, again, frankly, I hope the whole thing's done. You just say, hey, let's cut our losses. Let's make sure we move forward with the right-sized fire department now. The last thing is, will this council do it? I've watched a lot of past councils, but this one is a little bit different. You do have a stronger mayor, in my opinion, who's got some leadership. You have new people like Scott and others who really want to look at these things as we're not necessarily beholden to the past. We want to look forward, especially with the money problems. I think it could happen, and especially if Sly James, the mayor, says, hey, I've looked at the information. He's going to have a private group look at it as well as a group of five people look at it. They come back and say, yeah, this looks pretty good. I think he's going to go with it.
Let me get our listeners involved here. What do you make of this proposal from the city manager, Troy Schulte, to cut 105 positions from the Kansas City, Missouri Fire Department? Would it cause a little fear factor in your mind that maybe the city is not being protected as much as it should be or not? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Our email address is uptodate@kcur.org, or go to KCUR's Facebook page or tweet us at @KCURUpToDate. Susan from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you in Yale?
Well, Susan, thank you.
My quick comment would be that I think that the fire department is in line for some cuts. If its efficiency is fine, if its personnel cuts fine, I think that they have enough fat in the non-firefighting administrative and battalion chiefs and their drivers, et cetera, to make these not as painful. Other city departments, it's beyond bone. They're into the marrow of these agencies. And I'm driving around the Brookside, Waldo area, and I see a lot of fire plugs that have these white cover things on them because they're not effective anyway. So we have some issues here besides just firefighters. There are large issues in the city. You know, going to have to man up. That's it.
All right, Susan. Thanks
Bye-bye.
For the call. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, Scott, what's the process now going forward? The city manager has, you know, he's presented his recommendations to Mayor Sly James. Now what?
Well, at this point, we begin to look to the mayor and get his reaction to that. I will tell you that I think, and I could be wrong and I could be corrected on this, typically the council will not see the budget that has been presented to the mayor for at least a couple of weeks. We've already got it in our hands, and we can begin to look at that, and so we are. But I think for the public, what they need to be looking for is the upcoming public meetings that we will have over the budget to get their comment. That was something that was started in the last term when we began to get into some of these bad budget years, and that tradition continues. And we have at least a draft of when those dates will be, and it'll be predominantly February. Basically, if you've got a free Saturday morning in February, you can come and make your comments on the budget. So we will begin to take a look at that. We will give the public the opportunity to make those comments, whether it's about this particular issue that we're talking about or any other. You know, what we have again, kind of going back to the outcomes that I mentioned earlier and the strategic plan that we set out with the city manager, we've really tried to identify those issues that are most important, mm-hmm. whether it's this or any other. And so this will be an opportunity when we take the show on the road, so to speak, to allow people to talk about the issues that are important to them. If cutting weeds is important, we want to know. If the fire department issue is important to them, we want to know. Or any other. It is important to get their involvement. And then at that point, through the month of March is when we'll get into the nitty-gritty and go through committee and really get into what will be the final budget. But by March 22nd, we must have a budget agreed upon. So that's sort of the time frame we have in mind.
I don't know if you guys have these numbers at your disposal, but Tom in Kansas City writes us this. What is the average salary of a Kansas City firefighter, and what percentage of that annual salary is in the form of overtime pay?
I don't know about the overtime, but I do know the average salary for all the pension stuff I've been doing is in the $60,000 to $70,000. That's average.
Okay.
Quickly on to Scott's point, I really want to see what the mayor says in his budget February 9th. If he puts firefighters in there as a cut, that makes it a lot more likely that something will happen on that.
I mean, if the mayor
about
does.
The issue we're talking about. Obviously, Steve, we haven't even gotten into there. A number of other issues that, you know, Troy put in there. This is the one that gets a lot of attention for good reason.
Well, speaking of other issues he did put in there, he's talking about making cuts to street maintenance programs and street reconstruction to the tune of a combined number of nearly $5 million. Makes sense or not?
I'm not a fan of that.
Because it's infrastructure and...
Yeah. I mean, I know he's got other improvements other places, but that's... That's
bread and butter.
Right, that's true.
Right, and I would say, you know, I think it's not a newsflash to anyone that we're behind on our deferred maintenance and other infrastructure-related issues. I think part of the reason why you see that in there, and I think, Yale, you may have even talked about it in your column, what I sense is an overall strategy of how you can take items perhaps from our budget and from the general fund and try to find other ways to finance those improvements, some mm-hmm. of the taxes that right. and fees and those right. sorts of things that have been talked about. I think what you're seeing is, with an item like that, is just the notion that there are certain – because of the financial condition the city is in and because of the things that we have to fund through the general fund and trying to find alternative methods to do the job without necessarily – or I guess – being able to afford to take some of that money away from the general fund. Of course, the presumption is that we would indeed put some of these items, like a future GO bond, for example, on the ballot. Of course, there's a lot of questions that then rise just from that line of thinking. But I think that's – I mean, obviously we don't want to cut that. But I think that's why you're seeing that recommendation in there, because there's an idea that there might be another mechanism down the road that we might use.
Let's move on to another aspect of the developments at City Hall. Kansas City is moving ahead very quickly on a new downtown streetcar line. Yale, what's happening there?
Well, I mean, basically they're trying to come up with a way to fund it, and it looks like, you know, having a district where –
setting up a taxing district, right? Yeah.
Transportation taxing district, essentially, where the companies in that area and you know, people who live in that area, people who work people who own property in the area would pay extra money. And the general idea behind it is what some other cities have done is, well, you're going to benefit from this because we'll be running streetcar there. More people will come there. You'll have more permanent assets around there. It's not going to be as great as having – light rail, which, you know, really would have been permanent stations where you just could have development around light rail stations. I understand the concept behind it, and I haven't gotten to the weeds on how much money this is going to come from, you know, like an individual corporation will right. really benefit from it. But downtowners have proven through this community improvement district that was about 5, 6, 7 mm-hmm. years ago, mm-hmm. they are willing to pay for more money to upgrade the image of downtown, protect people who work and live downtown, and make downtown a better place to be. I think the streetcar idea is a good one. I just don't know about the economics, whether it's going to make sense for these people to sign the petition saying, yeah, I'm going to pay a little extra money for it. I think it's going to ultimately do that. You just have to look at exactly what it is.
Why can you make that a citywide tax? Because, you know, I would benefit from the streetcar system. I happen to live in Northeast Johnson County. Mm-hmm. You know, what about me?
Well, I think
I'd pay more for it.
No, I understand. I think part of it is just simply the history of mass transit in the city and just the overall performance from a citywide perspective of will people support something that may only run in the downtown area.
Right.
I think that's probably 90% of the reason why and why you see this particular line moving forward, because it really seems to be I would think probably the best alternative as far as actually getting something done. And so I think you see then the interest of the downtown council, other downtown interests. Interestingly, I think what also helps drive it, as we've taken a look at some of the more recent announcements of large employers who are coming into the downtown area, it's that lifestyle that downtown has to offer, which the streetcar feeds into, that is drawing these companies that have younger workers. So it's almost like a lifestyle thing that's kind of pushing this along, and I think the downtown interests are realizing that.
And you remind us, the streetcar system as it's proposed right now would run from
– it's about
– River Market.
River Market up to
– Crown Center.
Union Station, Crown Center area, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, but of course, the big moolah is getting it to Crown – getting it to the Country Club Plaza at some point. I mean, that would really – you know, sure, it helps downtown, but it also help visitors and all that kind of stuff.
That's not part of the initial
proposal. It is not part of the initial part.
Okay. Go to some phone calls here. Jerry from Kansas City, Missouri. Jerry, you're on up to date. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Yes, sir. Back when the old police chief was, you had the old police chief on your panel here a year and a half ago, and we were talking about cutting, back to the issue of cutting, what would, you know, instead of cutting firefighters. I live up in the Northland, and where I live, there's a lot of police officers that live up here, drive their cop cars home. I've always wondered why it is that we can't cut the police department that drives these their police cars home, and the expense of the gas that it takes to do that. It really ticks me off in that, you know, there's times I see them, you know, treating their cop cars like company cars and driving along. I see the wife in the car. I've seen the kids in the car. I've seen them taking them to school functions on parent-teacher night.
Right.
I posed the same question to the old police chief and said, well, why do they need to drive the cop cars home? His answer was, well, it allows the city to have better coverage to fight crime in case we need to get them out on call. Are you kidding me?
Jerry, I'm going to have to cut you short because we need to move on. But Councilman Wagner, there's something to be said for what the chief told Jerry, right?
Well, there is, and I can understand his question and his frustration. It's one of those things where I think on the one hand, you have those who support the position that our caller just had. They don't want to see wasted gas, wasted opportunity. On the other hand, there is something to be said, and I don't know if I would ever say that I would agree with our past police chief on anything, but there is something to be said for the physical presence of those police cars out there. So unfortunately, it's probably a six of one, half dozen of the other sort of situation.
I appreciate you both coming in. Good conversation about stuff at City Hall. We'll come back and do it again sometime soon.
That sounds great. Thanks,
that's
Steve.
The Kansas City Star's Yael Abouhaka from the editorial page and Councilman Scott Wagner. Thank you both again very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Coming up in our second half today, we'll turn to music and we'll talk to Chris Brubeck, the son of a legendary jazzer, as well as folks from a group and performing in town this weekend, Ladysmith Black Mambazo. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR.